DeRazzo, Eggman, Glazer, Gonzalez, Grove, Hurtado, Jones, Laird, Lamone, McGuire, Menjivar, Min, Newman, Wynn, Nilo, Ochoa Bogue, Padilla, Portantino, Roth, Rubio, Sayarto, Skinner, Smallwood Cuevas, Stern, Umberg, Wahab, Wiener, Wilk.
Quorum is present. Would the members and our guests beyond the rail please rise? We'll be led in prayer today by Senator Smallwood Cuevas, and after which, please remain standing. We'll be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by Senator Min.
We are tied together in the single garment of destiny, caught in an inescapable network of mutuality, and whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. letter from a Birmingham jail, April 16, 1963. Merciful and compassionate God, these words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. resonate with us as we remember and celebrate his life and legacy. Be with us this year as we work in solidarity with each other, adding our voices to the voices of those who struggle daily for justice and equity. We must recognize and respond to the fierce urgency of now and contest the resistance to our collective work of anti-racism and nonviolence. Help us understand that in this time, we in this chamber are integral to the birthing of the future from the crucible of the present and the mistakes of the past. Gracious God, as we intensify our desire to live with integrity of word and deed, help us continue to grow into the network of mutuality that forges our unity and brings honor to the life of our beloved Dr. King. Amen.
Members, guests beyond the rail, please join me in our country's Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic which stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Speaking of celebrating, we've been celebrating two birthdays this week in our Senate family. Three birthdays. Okay. Senator Wahab, Senator Smallwood Cuevas, and last night, Senator Bradford. Please give them all a warm congratulations. Next, privileges of the floor. There are none. Messages from the governor will be deemed read. Messages from the assembly will be deemed read. Reports of committee will be deemed read. And now is the time for motions, resolutions, and notices. Seeing none, introduction and first reading of bills will be deemed read. Senators, we will now move to considerations of the daily file. We're going to start with file item six, Senator Grove. Senator Grove, are you prepared?
Oh, absolutely, sir.
Madam Secretary, please read.
Senate Resolution 6 by Senator Grove, relative to National Human Trafficking Awareness Month.
Go ahead, Senator Grove.
Thank you, Mr. President. Today I rise to present SR6, which commemorates January 2023 as Human Trafficking Awareness Month. It's important that we continue to recognize the horrendous act of human trafficking and the effect that it has on all of our communities. Just this past Wednesday, January 11th, people across the country wore blue in honor of National Human Trafficking Awareness Day. Colleagues, the International Labor Organization estimates in 2021 that there were over 49 million victims of human trafficking around the world. This figure includes both sex trafficking, commercial sex exploitation, and forced labor exploitation. Let that sink in for just a minute. We're talking about millions of people, including little boys and girls, that are a victim of this horrendous crime. In my district alone, Tulare County Sheriff's Office did Operation Babyface, where they rescued 29 adults, 23 children. The youngest was just 11. My district is no different than yours here in the state of California when it comes to this horrific crime. Due to California's extensive international border, its significant immigrant population, major airports and harbors, the state's a hotbed for human trafficking. Because of this, our local, state, and federal law enforcement agencies continue to work tirelessly to end human trafficking and protect the most vulnerable members of our society. Please join me in supporting SR6. Give a voice to the millions of victims out there that suffer from this horrific abuse. We have to fight to protect victims, strengthen prevention, and increase prosecution for those who sell human beings. I ask for your aye vote.
Any discussion or debate? Senator Rubio.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate. Today I rise as a victim's advocate, and it is my honor to be here to stand in solidarity and bring awareness to this very important issue. As already mentioned, the International Labor Organization estimates that there's 50 million victims that were human trafficked in 2021, and that's children, men, women. There is no discrimination when it comes to that issue, and that is just simply unacceptable. 50 million modern-day slaves. That's what they are. We have a duty to protect victims, and that is why I've been a strong advocate for bringing resources, passing laws to protect our victims. This issue is too important, and as we know, it crosses ethnic, political, and religious barriers. So all of us here must stand together in supporting victims. Thank you, and I urge and I vote.
Thank you. Any other discussion or debate? Senator Grove, would you like to close?
Just to thank my colleague for her response on this, and I really do appreciate your advocacy in helping me with this issue. You're an incredible person to work with.
Madam Secretary, please call the roll and file item 6.
Allen.
Aye.
Aye. Alvarado Gill.
Aye.
Aye. Archuleta.
Aye.
Aye. Ashby.
Aye.
Aye. Atkins.
Aye.
Aye. Becker.
Aye.
Aye. Blakespear.
Aye.
Bradford.
Aye.
Caballero. Cortese.
Aye.
Daly.
Aye.
Dodd.
Aye.
Durazo.
Aye.
Eggman.
Aye.
Glazer.
Gonzalez.
Aye. Grove.
Aye.
Hurtado.
Aye.
Jones. Laird.
Aye.
Lamon.
Aye.
McGuire.
Aye.
Aye. Menjivar.
Aye.
Min.
Aye.
Newman.
Aye.
Wynn.
Aye.
Nilo.
Aye.
Ochoa Bogue.
Aye.
Padilla.
Aye.
Portantino.
Aye.
Roth.
Aye.
Rubio.
Aye.
Sayarto.
Aye.
Skinner.
Aye.
Smallwood Cuevas.
Aye.
Stern.
Aye.
Umberg. Wahab.
Aye.
Weiner.
Aye.
Wilk.
Aye.
Please call the absent members.
Caballero. Glazer. Jones. Umberg. 36, sir.
Ayes are 36, noes are 0. The measure passes. And now we'll move on to file item 4, Senator Min. He's prepared. Madam Secretary, please read.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 10 by Senator Min, relative to Korean American Day.
Go ahead, Senator Min.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm honored to present SCR 10, proclaiming January 13th, 2023, as Korean American Day. This day marks the 120th anniversary of the first known Korean immigrants to reach the United States shores, those in search of a better life for themselves, their families, and generations to come. My own family's story is one of Korean immigration as well. My parents came over to this country in 1971 in the aftermath of the Korean War. They grew up at a time of poverty. They came to this country for the same reason countless people come to this country, because of the promise that our country has offered. And I know we all care deeply in this room about preserving that American dream, that California dream. So it's been remarkable as a Korean American to see Korean culture become so popular and widespread, because when I grew up in California, people really didn't know what Korea was. I was typically called Chinese or Japanese. Our food, our culture was kind of unknown to most people. And so for my kids today to see gimbap, K-pop, you know, Squid Games, all these amazing things, the cool pencils that kids have, Korean culture being so celebrated here is really something cool and something that I'm very proud of. So today, let us recognize California's rich cultural history and honor the immense contributions that Korean Americans have made to this state. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Senator DeRosso.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I also rise to thank Senator Min for recognizing Korean American Day. I am very proud to represent Koreatown in Los Angeles, a significant historical and cultural site, home to tens of thousands of Korean Americans. I feel a connection to the first Koreans who came to Los Angeles as laborers, farmers, and domestic workers. These families worked in difficult conditions and struggled to even feed their families. They built businesses and a thriving community. Last year, I recognized the Korean American Federation of Los Angeles as my district's nonprofit of the year for their work on the concerns of their community, raising language issues. They have filled a major gap in translation services for people of Korean American descent. But most important, they are a model of services to all people in that community. Thank you again for recognizing the Korean American community.
Thank you. Senator Min, would you like to close?
I forgot Korean barbecue in a number of TV shows and movies that people brought to my attention. So I apologize for that, but I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. This measure is eligible for unanimous roll call. Any objection to using unanimous roll call? Seeing none, the ayes are 36, the noes are 0. The measure passes. And now we will move on to file item 5, Senator Bradford. Madam Secretary, please read.
Senate Concurrent Resolution 12 by Senator Bradford relative to Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr.
Go ahead, Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I stand here as Vice Chair of the Legislative Black Caucus, and I'm honored to present SCR 12, which recognizes Monday, January 16th, at Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day in this nation. Dr. King was a Baptist minister, an activist, the president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, recipient of a Nobel Peace Prize, and the foremost leader of civil rights movement in this nation and probably the world. His tireless advocacy and leadership helped achieve monumental gains in voting rights, desegregation of housing and restaurants, labor rights, and other civil rights, not just for Black Americans, but for all Americans. This Sunday marks what would have been his 94th birthday. In 1970, California became the first state to pass legislation making Dr. King's birthday a school holiday and later a statewide holiday. And he is one of only four Americans. He's only one of four Americans who have a national holiday in their honor. Since then, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Day has become known not as a day off, but a day on, a day of service, a day of celebration and remembering the legacy of this remarkable and selfless American. This year also marks the 60th anniversary of the March on Washington for Jobs and Freedom. It was during this march that Dr. King delivered his iconic I Have a Dream speech, which has been described by scholars as the greatest American speech in the 20th century. But many are unaware that that speech was not about a dream. It was about the economic disparities and lack of opportunities for African Americans. It was only due to the behest of gospel great Mahalia Jackson, who yelled from the stage, "Tell them about the dream, Martin, tell them about the dream." The speech, again, was about a debt that was owed to the Negro. Dr. King gave this speech 100 years after President Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation. In this speech, Dr. King called for civil and economic rights and the end of racism in America. Dr. King said, in a sense, we've come to this nation's capital to cash a check. When the architects of our republic wrote the magnificent words of the Constitution and Declaration of Independence, they were signing a promissory note to which every American fell heir. It is obvious today that America has defaulted on this promissory note insofar as the citizens of color are concerned. Instead of honoring the sacred obligation, America has given the Negro people a bad check, which has come back marked insufficient funds. These words still ring true today. This July, California's Reparations Task Force will release its final report along with formal recommendations about the forms of reparations for Black Americans. We have an opportunity to show the rest of the nation that justice is not impossible, but practical, that Dr. King's dream for America can be a reality. As a member of this task force, I looked at Dr. King's example, his words, and his actions for how this state can be a leader in reparations, civil rights, and justice. I refuse to believe the Bank of Justice is bankrupt. I refuse to believe that there are insufficient funds in this great vault of opportunity for this state and this nation. This Martin Luther King Day, I call on all my fellow colleagues and Californians to reflect on the principles of racial equality and social justice championed by Dr. Martin Luther King. Let us embrace this belief that our destiny is shared, accept our obligations to each other, and strengthen the bonds that hold us together. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, Senator Bradford. With a number of members wishing to speak on this, I saw Wiener, Gonzalez, Minn, Smallwood Cuevas, and then Menjivar. Senator Wiener.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I rise today as co-chair of the California Legislative Jewish Caucus in support of SCR 12. Reverend King dared to believe that as a nation and as individuals, we could not only do better, but be better. He called for justice and was murdered for it. His killers believed that his death would end the idea he represented, but the movement for equity across race and class divisions grew even stronger as a result of that horrific murder. The Jewish community marched with Dr. King. Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel, who famously marched with Dr. King from Selma to Montgomery, was probably the most famous, but there were many others. Dr. King cited Jewish philosophers like Martin Buber to explain the immorality of segregation and referenced the persecution of Jews, seeing our communities as partners in the fight against bigotry and hate. Too often we learn a sanitized legacy about Dr. King. We must remember that even today, the better world that he called for so many years ago, even today, is radical. And we must keep fighting to make clear that it's actually not radical. This is about basic justice and human decency. The Jewish community, for our part, we need to continue to reaffirm our commitment to fighting anti-blackness and racial hatred in all forms. May Dr. King's memory be a blessing, and may we all continue this important work. I'm honored to urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Senator Gonzalez.
Thank you, Mr. President. And as Vice Chair of the Latino Caucus, it's my pleasure to rise in strong support of SCR 12 by my great colleague from Gardena, which commemorates the life and legacy of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. King, for many of us, is a symbol of justice. He was an educator of civil and human rights, a role model, and a beloved friend to so many. He held honest conversations and gave powerful speeches about many topics relevant in our society today, including civil rights and justice. He inspired our Latino civil leaders, including Cesar Chavez and Dolores Huerta, to utilize his model of nonviolence during the struggle for farm worker rights. Although they never met in person, Dr. King sent Cesar Chavez a telegram in 1996 in support of La Huelga, the farm worker strike. That telegram said, "As brothers in the struggle for equality, I extend the hand of fellowship and goodwill and wish continuing success to you and your members. The fight for equality must be fought on many fronts, in the urban areas, in the sweatshops of the factories and fields. Our separate struggles are really a struggle for freedom, dignity, and humanity. You and your valiant fellow workers have demonstrated your commitment to righting grievous wrongs forced upon exploited people. We are together with you in spirit and determination that our dreams for a better tomorrow will be realized. Today, our communities continue to strive to achieve the dream Dr. King fought for and which he paid the ultimate price. As Latino leaders, we must stand together with our Black Caucus members to be able to fight against these injustices and continue his legacy. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Senator Mann.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senators, on behalf of the Asian American Pacific Islander Legislative Caucus, I'm honored to rise to commemorate the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. Dr. King fought for inclusivity and equality, and there are many of us who are here in this chamber because of his leadership and his actions. Leaders like Dr. King continue to inspire us to fight for parity, for equal opportunities, equal protection under the law, and unfortunately, we are still fighting that fight today. Now, there's a long history of Asian, Pacific Islander, and Black communities working together to try to achieve the dream that Dr. King espoused. Frederick Douglass advocated for Chinese and Japanese immigration in 1869, when this restriction was a central political debate. There was an unlikely bond between Malcolm X and Yuri Kochikiyama, who became friends and helped each other develop global perspectives on human rights. After the murder of Vincent Chin, Jesse Jackson joined forces with Asian American activists to demand justice. The AAPI Caucus stands with the Black Caucus in recognizing life and legacy of Dr. King, and we look forward to working together to continue trying to make Dr. King's dream a reality. I respectfully ask you to support me in voting for SCR 12. Thank you.
Thank you. Senator Smollett-Cuevas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise on behalf of the Legislative Women's Caucus in support of SCR 12 and in honor of the late Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr. I want to say that today's my birthday, and I want to say the universe is working to my good to be able to celebrate Dr. King on behalf of the Women's Caucus today. I also want to share that in my district, I had the honor of knowing fighters and co-architects of the civil rights movement in my district, Reverend James Lawson being one of them, and Miss Gwen Green. Miss Gwen Green, who is a founder of SCLC LA, was the fundraiser here in Los Angeles for the movement. And she would, over a strong martini, tell me stories about how she would pick up Dr. King at the airport and take him around to the local churches in my district in South Central Los Angeles, and to many of your districts and to your constituents who would have home fundraisers to support bail and feeding the movement. So I'm very honored to be here and sharing that story and this message today. Through the revolutionary civil rights movement, Dr. King fought for equality, our humanity, so that Black people in this country could live with the same freedoms as all Americans and to make real the promises of democracy. Dr. King and the Black Freedom Movement also opened the doors for other marginalized groups to walk through, including the Women's Equal Rights Movement that led to transformative change in California and across the country. He utilized a multi-phase strategy that transitioned the movement for not only fighting for social accommodation and desegregation for Black people, but to the poor people's fight for economic justice and workers' rights. He understood that real jobs and real protections and real skills meant real opportunities and were essential to attaining the true liberation of our community in this country. In his speech at the AFL-CIO convention in 1961, Dr. King said the labor movement was the principal force that transformed misery and despair into hope and progress. It not only sought for equality for Black people, but it sought to unite a divided nation. In his memoir, Why We Can't Wait, Dr. King explained that he led a nonviolent movement because it would enable our nation to heal after the movement was won, creating a beloved community for all of us to live. That beloved community continues to be our aspiration, with equitable access to quality employment, education, housing, and health care, and a place where all Americans can live free from discrimination and safe from racial terror and hate. Because of failed public policy, systemic racism, and economic violence that is carried forth into the 21st century, Dr. King's dream is out of reach for far too many Black, working class, immigrant, and other communities of color. For example, while Black people are only 6% of California's population, we disproportionately comprise nearly 40% of the state's homeless and 30% of those incarcerated in prisons inside the industrial complex. More than a quarter of our state's residents are living near or in poverty, and we only need to look at the children of my district, where in LAUSD, 80% of our students live in families that are at or below the poverty line, while millions of Californians are still going without health care, a basic human right. I say that all to say that we know that Dr. King's fight for equity is not yet over. Yet we in this room, and this is a message that Reverend Lawson asked me to share with you all, that we in this room have the power to ensure that equity is realized in the lives of all Californians. Yesterday, the Legislative Black Caucus had a powerful event, and the legendary speaker, Willie Brown, was there, and he reminded all of us that we are descendants of Dr. King. And as the only Black woman in the California State Senate, I'm so proud to stand on the shoulders of women like Ms. Green, women like Ella Baker and Rosa Parks. And therefore, I ask you all to reflect on this resolution today and Dr. King's legacy by ensuring that California continues to fight for economic and racial equity in this country. And I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Senator Menjivar.
Thank you, Mr. President. Good morning, members. I rise today on behalf of the LGBTQ caucus in support of SCR 12. Today, we honor a giant in the fight for civil rights. He sparked a revolution, and his legacy is one of action in the name of justice, including LGBTQ justice. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. lit a path for millions to follow. We honor him through peaceful protests and continue to work for equal rights, an end to discrimination in a more just America. Dr. King inspired us to stand tall in the face of hateful rhetoric and challenge those who oppose equality at every turn. He told us to be brave even when the goals may not seem achievable. LGBTQ plus people have always been part of this fight. Bayard Rustin, one of Dr. King's closest confidants, was gay and fought for racial justice as it intersects with the LGBTQ plus movement. And Dr. King called for justice, social and economic, a call that the LGBTQ caucus has worked to answer. Dr. King's legacy is still felt today as we invoke his name and try to fulfill his dream of equity and equality for all. I respectfully urge your aye vote on SCR 12.
Thank you. Any other discussion or debate? Senator Bradford, would you like to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to thank all of my colleagues who added their words and commitment and understanding of the importance of Dr. Martin Luther King. But I want to stress again that this shouldn't simply be about quoting his words or remembering his legacy, but living out his through actions, the deeds that Dr. King fought for and died for. Dr. King often said, "We will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends." Too many of our friends are silent on the issues that are most important to this state and this nation. We're silent on homelessness. We're silent on the police abuse that still exists in this country. We're silent on the seditious acts of trying to overturn an illegal election. We're silent on women's rights to choose. We're silent on those things that will greatly impact each and every one of us every day. We need to let our voices be heard. We need to let our voices be heard. We need to not just echo the words of Dr. King, but live them out every day of our lives. Dr. King often said, "Man is not the maker of history. We're made by history. And it was the history of what was happening in this country is why we celebrate Dr. King. And so we should understand that as legislators, we have an obligation to impact what's happening, not only in the state, in this nation. So again, I thank you. I ask you to remember, and a little bit of tidbit. How many folks know Martin Luther King? That was not his birth name. It was Michael. His father was Michael Sr., and he was Michael Jr. And it wasn't until his father went to Germany and met with the great theologian Martin Luther that he came back, and at the age of 5, he changed Michael's name to Martin Luther King Jr. So I just want to share that as well, show his commitment and his father's commitment to peace and love in this country and in this world, and I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, members. This item is eligible for unanimous roll call. Any objections to using unanimous roll call? See none. The ayes are 34. The noes are 0. The measure passes. Now we will return to motions and resolutions, and now is the time for adjourn in memory. And we'd like to start out with Senator Atkins.
Colleagues, thank you, and Mr. President, thank you. I rise to adjourn in memory of a real trailblazer for women, a friend, Natalie Gore, who died on September 28th at the age of 77. Natalie was one of the very first female special agents in the FBI, where she specialized in counterintelligence work. She's remembered as a role model who paved the way for other female agents. Born May 4th, 1945, Natalie grew up in Chester, California, a small lumber town in Plumas County. Natalie's trajectory and depth of knowledge was unique. After graduating from the University of California at Davis, where she majored in zoology, she worked for 6 years as an elementary school teacher in San Francisco. In 1976, upon learning that the FBI was looking for female agents, she attended the FBI Academy in Virginia with 4 other women. And despite skepticism and some of their male peers, all 4 excelled, graduated, and became among the first 50 women hired as agents in the FBI. Her first assignment was in a Seattle field office where she met and dated Bill Gore. And as some of you may know, Bill later became the sheriff of San Diego County, recently retired from that post. Bill and Natalie married in 1978 and became an incredible pair. You could tell that Natalie was the light of Sheriff Gore's life. She left the FBI in 1985 after the arrival of their son, Ryan, to spend full time as a mom. When she later reapplied to the FBI, she was heartbroken to learn that she was ineligible due to eye surgery and some restrictions that were in place. That was their loss, I will say. Undaunted, she devoted herself to other passions, including her art, volunteer work, and travel. She was an incredibly talented artist. I loved her work. She did beautiful portraits, animals, and landscapes. The beneficiaries of her charitable work included Voices of Women, a nonprofit group that supported local and global educational programs that uplifted and empowered women and children and girls, the San Diego Zoo, the Wild Animal Park, among many others. I have some really fond memories of the times I spent with Natalie and Bill. She was so emotionally intelligent and engaging, with great wit, and she was incredibly warm. She was the life of any event and any party. I mean, the sheriff might have been there, but it was all about Natalie. She's survived by her husband of 44 years, Bill, her son Ryan, both of San Diego, her sister Marlette Clark of Sacramento, 2 stepsisters, Marianne Gwynn of Phoenix, Barbara Ullman of Scottsdale, Arizona, a stepbrother, Rob Schmidt of Houston. Colleagues, I would ask you to join me in recognition of an incredible, incredible trailblazer, Natalie Gore.
Please bring her name up so she can be properly memorialized by the Senate. Next, we'll go to Senator Wiener.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, it's with great sadness that I rise today to ask that the Senate adjourn in memory of Juan Carlos Wallace, known as JC, who tragically and suddenly passed away in November at the age of 48. JC was born in 1974 in Mexico City. Reflective of his global background as a Mexican-American person, he attended multiple international schools, including the American School Foundation in Mexico City. He spent his junior and senior years of high school in Santa Barbara and then moved to San Francisco, which he's called home for 27 years. JC attended UC Berkeley, where he earned a BA in economics. He later returned to Berkeley to earn his MBA from the Haas School of Business, focusing on real estate. He forged deep personal and professional relationships while at Berkeley and had a wide circle of friends with whom he remained close through the remainder of his life. JC worked in the real estate industry for most of his career, co-founding Oryx Partners, ANA Health Services, and Alamo Health Services. He was also passionate about finding creative ways to build housing for marginalized communities, and he spearheaded many projects that successfully brought innovative housing and development to the San Francisco Bay Area. He was a founding member of the San Francisco chapter of the Lesbian and Gay Real Estate Group, and was also a board member and board chair of Open House, an incredible nonprofit focused on the needs of LGBTQ seniors. He was a lover of the outdoors and of exercise, spending a lot of time biking and swimming in the bay as a member of the South End Rowing Club. He could often be found outside with his two dogs, Bo and Chloe, who accompanied him on his many outdoor adventures. He was a loving partner and father. He survived by his beloved partner, Brian, and his children, Omar and Matthew. JC enjoyed a wide circle of friends, reflective of his many experiences and interests. I will say that I've known JC for probably 20 plus years, someone who it's really hard to imagine being in the community without him being there. He was so active and involved, and truly one of the kindest, just nicest people that I've known. I attended his memorial late last year, and as often happens when you go to a memorial for someone you know, but you don't always know the true extent of their network and of the vast number of people impacted by their death. And his memorial was incredibly moving, both the memorial itself, but also the sheer diversity of people who were there, showing what a powerful presence JC was in life. Dying suddenly at the age of 48, it's just horrifying and it's so depressing. But JC, in his short life, left an incredible mark on San Francisco, and I request that the Senate adjourn in his memory.
Thank you. Please bring his name up so he can be properly memorialized. Finally, Senator Bradford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I rise today to adjourn in the name of memory also of Mr. Carl Tuggle, who passed away on December 29th at the age of 97. Mr. Tuggle was born on January 24th, 1925 in Cincinnati, Ohio, one of three children. He attended Woodworth High School, where he participated in many different sports, including football, baseball, and gymnastics. After high school, he was drafted into the military and served in the U.S. Navy from 1943 to 1945 during World War II, and that leads to his connection to California. Some of you may be familiar with the Port Chicago disaster in 1944. Mr. Tuggle was one of over 200 black servicemen who refused to continue to load munitions after the unsafe conditions that led to the explosion and killing of over, 320 African-American soldiers and wounding another 300 plus. 50 of those sailors, known as the Port Chicago 50, were charged for mutiny, found guilty, and dishonorably discharged. Although he was not one of the 50 who charged for mutiny, he was a steadfast advocate and ally for their exoneration. Just this year, or just last year, I should say, the House of Representatives passed language urging the Secretary of the Navy to exonerate these soldiers. After service in the Navy, he continued his education at Central State University, where he met the love of his life, Elizabeth. They were married in 1951 and enjoyed 64 years together. In 1952, Mr. Tuggle attended Columbia University in New York, where he received a master's in education. Not only was he a scholar, he was also a dedicated servant of his faith. He was a member of Allen Temple AME. He worked for nearly four decades as a teacher, counselor, coach, administrator, and instilling the importance of education and integrity was part of his life's calling. He began his teaching career in 1952 at Hubbard High School in Missouri, teaching physical education and coaching basketball and baseball. And began his career, he had a long career, I should say, in the Cincinnati public school system from 1954 until his retirement in 1990. When he wasn't teaching, he spent most of his time volunteering from crayons to computers, gardening, painting, traveling, playing golf, and attending church and assisting his wife with the Black College tour, where I had opportunity to meet him. During Mr. Tuggle's memory lives on with his family in France and his countless future generations he has undoubtedly impacted. Members, please join me in a journey in the memory of a soldier, an educator, a tireless fighter for justice, and a devoted father, the one and only, Carl Tuggle. Thank you.
Thank you. Please bring his name up so he can be properly memorialized as well. If there's no other business, Senator Atkins, the desk is clear.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, safe travels home. I know many of our communities are still struggling with the weather and all that we are facing. So please, safe travels home. But I also hope you all have a wonderful weekend and have the opportunity to celebrate the life of a great man. Many of us are going to spend the weekend doing days of service and breakfast and events honoring that life. So I hope we have a wonderful weekend with our families and our communities doing that. And with that, we will have our next floor session on Tuesday, January 17th, 2023 at 2 p.m.
The Senate will be recessed until 3:30 p.m., at which time the adjournment motion will be made. We will reconvene Tuesday, January 17th at 2 p.m.